Thank you, Jesus. Somebody give Jesus a hand. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in this room tonight. Come on. Somebody feel the Holy Spirit tonight? Come on. That's good. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time of worship that we had. We just ask of you that you would use me as just your tool tonight. I pray that what I'm speaking tonight would be received well with softened hearts, Lord. Open us up. Open our eyes to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, I want to tell you guys really fast. Ooh, man, that's hard to really transfer out of that space. I'm sorry. I want to tell you guys really fast about this trip that I went on to Texas. Can I walk up here and get water? Don't judge me. I'm sorry that I'm leaving the podium. Ooh, don't get dehydrated. sorry, I went on this trip to Texas this last week. It was a vacation for me and my wife, and we were blessed enough to bring our two babies, Ezra and Harmony. Why did nobody tell me like how hard it is to fly with a one-year-old child? I don't know why I thought that would just be a breeze. I was like, yeah, Ezra's a good boy. This is gonna be fine. Yeah. Yeah, it turns out he just only wanted to climb on top of the person besides us. But anyways, the flight went well. We got there safely, praise God. I got to see some old friends, and I was so happy to see them. I was so happy to see them. One of them, his name is Gitana, not Katana like the sword, but Gitana with a G. And he is from Ethiopia. I think I've shared with some of you before about my trip to Ethiopia. But Gitana led this trip to Ethiopia, and man, it was life-changing. It was shocking. It was shocking to see the poverty. It was shocking to see hungry people. It was shocking to see all of that. But something I never really noticed that it just happened was Gitana, he had this like gentleness and this love to him that was extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. But I never really, I guess I didn't underestimate it, but I just didn't call it out. You know what I mean? I didn't call it out in my head. But anyways, I saw Gitana on this trip to Texas last week, and I walked into this Airbnb that we were at, and young adults were already talking and conversating, and Gitana's sitting down at the table. Gitana's about, I want to say he's in his 70s, maybe 80s. So he's an older man, sweetest old dude. Oh my goodness. But he's sitting at this table talking to somebody, and I kind of walk up behind that person. I'm looking at Gitana. I'm like, mm-hmm. And he looked at me with a dirty look, kind of like, what does this guy want? And then he goes, oh, hello. And he gives me a big old smooch on the cheek, gives me a big hug. And I'm so excited to see him. And at this point, I'm almost crying because I had missed Gitana so much. This dude that I hadn't, mind you, I have never met Gitana until the day we were leaving to Ethiopia. And so I'm like, I'm almost crying when I see Gitana at first. And I didn't really understand. Again, only 2 weeks did I have to know this guy, in person at least. We had conversated after that with like text or GroupMe or whatever, but this love was like extremely powerful. But the truth is, the love that he showed me on this trip was not of him. The love that he had been showing was actually a gift. It was a gift. Will you guys open up your Bibles with me? We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 through 31. We're going to start with verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. If you don't have your Bible, you need to buy a Bible. It's such a good book. It's such a good book. Yeah, and don't freak out, but it is alive also. But it's a good book. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to give just a couple seconds to get there. Danny, you got your Bible? Let's go. You guys, the youth are joining us tonight, by the way. If you haven't noticed, I'm glad that they came in. Praise God. Praise. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. I'm going to just start up. It says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?" Verse 31 says, "But earnestly desire the higher gifts." Let's keep going into chapter 13. It says, "The way of love." You guys might be familiar with this chapter. It says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge," all knowledge, somebody say all knowledge. "And if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love," somebody say love, "I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing." Somebody say nothing. "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." I want you, if you don't have that highlighted right now, I want you to highlight "love bears all things." That's verse 7. It says, "Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up my childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall fully know, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love." The gift of love is so powerful. You need to understand that the greatest of these is love. That line is put in the same scripture that refers to all of the other spiritual gifts. Prophecy, healing, gifts of words of knowledge, all of that, right? The greatest of these is love. It's not mentioned, love is not mentioned in the Bible as just a quality, but the way I see it, it is mentioned in the Bible as even more important than any of those powerful gifts, right? So love must come before the other gifts. Does that make sense? Because without it, the other gifts are rendered useless. Hence the noisy gong, clanging cymbal. Yeah, not the greatest things all by themselves, I hate to tell you. But this is why I felt like crying when I had just seen Gaetano, right? The love that he had shown over those 2 weeks that I was with him was not just love that was like, you know, given by man. It was love that was given through him. Do you understand? That was love that Gaetano had experienced from the love of Christ, and Gaetano walking in the love of Christ was able to demonstrate that to me. It was a gift more powerful than any prophecy, deliverance, or tongue. Now, here's the thing, I don't want to get too deep into those Greek meanings, right, for love anything like that, but I do want to bring up what Revelation chapter 2 says about love, okay? Y'all are like, wow, we just went from bright and happy, shiny Corinthians to like apocalypse real fast. But trust me here. Let me break it down really quick. In chapter 2 of Revelation, Jesus is basically giving the Ephesian church an exhortation. Somebody say exhortation. For some reason, I can only hear the youth saying it. Exhortation? Thanks, brother. I saw you say it. That was good. Okay. Now, after I just sidetracked myself, I lost my place. Okay. An exhortation is really just what it is an encouraging or an urging of someone to do something. Okay? That's like the basic explanation of an exhortation, right? And so the Ephesian Christians had this calling, okay? I need you to know that the Ephesians, as followers of Christ, they had this calling to call out false teachings from the emperor's cult, right? And the Greek goddess Artemis. Have y'all heard of the Greek goddess Artemis before? See, these religions, if you would, that's probably a butcher of what they actually were, but they were big in Ephesus. That was the home of these religions. And so at first that might seem pretty like intimidating to a follower of Christ, right? I'm not gonna lie, I'd like to think that this is what happened with the Ephesian followers of Christ, okay? As a response to that tough calling and challenge that the Ephesians had, as a response to that, they strayed from the love of Christ by turning to the motivation of the works that they were doing. Because in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, it says, to the church in Ephesus, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write the words of him who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks among the 7 golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. Woo! This word's going pretty good for Ephesus so far, right? But this is when the person reading it starts to frown. I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Everyone say, ooh. So I don't think that they stopped doing the works that they were doing, right? Calling out those false teachers, or sorry, it says false apostles, I believe. But so I don't think that they, in this scripture, at least, it doesn't really say that they stopped doing that. Maybe they did. But the biggest problem was that they became so confused so consumed by their work that they forgot about the one that they were working for, about the love that had driven them in the first place. Could you imagine? Actually, I really do believe that it happens all the time today. But they were so consumed with their work, they forgot about the one they were working for. They forgot about the love that had driven them into that work. The truth is, they had abandoned his love while the work was still happening. What is it like to return to your first love? He's really calling them here to return to their first love. As a church, if we ever stray from that first love, we must understand that we're deleting the very foundation that the church was built on, which was the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself. And yes, it is possible for people not even to know that they have abandoned their true love, their first love. So here's the thing, I'm not suggesting that we shy away from the gifts of the Spirit, okay? This whole thing isn't me telling you to not walk in the gifts of the Spirit. However, hear me when I say that in verse 31 in 1 Corinthians 12, it is not the form in the form of a request, but it's in the form of a command from Jesus, right? It says, "But earnestly desire the higher gifts." So the word I have for you today is not rebuking or quenching the Spirit, no, but encouraging you to hunger for the gifts with the overpowering presence of the love of Jesus. Amen. Because without this love, we would have never even been made new in the first place. Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 4, it says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." So if there's any gift that I encourage you to walk in today, if you haven't been walking in the Holy Spirit, it is to walk in his love. It is to walk in his love. Because if you have any of the others before that, it's pointless. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your overwhelming love, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just ask that that you would fill us up and that you would bless us, Lord God, as we go throughout our week. Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would be working on us to the point that we cannot just contain it and keep it hidden, but that we have to let your Holy Spirit work in others around us. I pray in the name of Jesus for a filling over each and every one of my brothers and sisters tonight so that they are overflowing onto others throughout this whole entire week. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. Amen.